Hi, this is John Stone from 10,000 Blades, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org. All the best of food and drink, a glass of wine, a smile, a wink. Don't have a cow, don't make a stink, it's Lucy in the kitchen sink.
One thing about these bars that they're the newest addition to the pantry here, they're nut-free. These are nut-free bars.
Really good for students who
have nut allergies. Yes.
And we have any more peaches, but these are the applesauce.
Hey, New Haveners, and welcome back to another episode of Kitchen Sink. On Wednesday, June 7th, I hopped on the B bus and made my way to the New Haven Adult and Continuing Education Center, where Principal Fallon Daniels and Administrator Gwen Newton, you might recognize that name because she's a former alder, took the time to show me around a new food pantry they've created for food insecure students. The center serves 1,000 students, and hundreds of them are food insecure every year. The following is an interview I did with them on site, followed by Daniels' remarks to the graduating adult ed class of 2017. The first voice you'll hear on the interview, after mine that is hers. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. So when did you identify this as a need? Pretty early on, or?
Yeah. I think previous administration, so this is my first year, previous administration and staff were kind of voicing the concern that students were coming in and they were hungry. And because they were hungry and didn't have an opportunity to eat for whatever the circumstance may be, it was impacting the learning, right? Because they would fall asleep, students will be unable to focus, and you could visibly see it in the classroom. And so there isn't really a direct funding source that says you can use your funds to pay for food.
Right.
And so that ultimately was the challenge of previous leadership and staff in regards to trying to get food in our building. And so this year, I happened to go out to a conference and I learned about another adult ed program actually just working with the community to get food donated.
And where was that conference?
It was the NEDP conference in Hartford with the adult ed directors. And that right away struck me, and I came back, and it was around October, and I said, we've got to figure out a way to pull in our community to kind of share the dilemma and figure out where we can get the funding or food or whatever it may be to help feed our students. We have over 1,000 students that come to our program.
Wow.
They sometimes come here from 9 a.m. to 9 at night. And to not have something for them to eat as they're going through a whole day, in my mind, I'm just like, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And we just have to figure out a way. And so with the support of, I believe it's Althea Brooks, she began doing some outreach. And it was the Community Foundation. And it was United Way that said, we're going to give you the funds to get a pantry up and running.
And when was that in relation to? So you go to this conference and then come back in October.
I would have to go back and look at my records. I want to say around December, January time frame. And right then and there, I pulled Ms. Gwen, who's like my right hand for this work. I also pulled in my other two staff that work with budget, Patty Godioso and Jody YL. And I said, team, we've got the funds. Now we got to get it started.
Hmm. And how much were you working with?
We got a total of, from both organizations, a total of $13,000.
And what was the breakdown between the two?
I'm not sure. They lump it into one account.
Great.
And they're still donating. And Miss Gwen, I mean, she could tell you her story. When I why I said she's the right hand is because she had the vision for where it's going to be, what we want it to look like, and how to make sure you get all students to come down and feel comfortable to grab a meal. And so she can kind of tell you her story on that, because since then, we implemented, for a month now.
May 1st.
Mm-hmm. And we've fed lots and lots of kids.
Yeah.
And we fed
over 2,000 students.
Oh my God.
Since May.
Can I get your
May
full
1st.
Name?
Beg your pardon?
Your full name?
Gwendolyn Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N.
And do you prefer Gwen?
Gwen, I prefer, yes.
So talk to me about this vision that you had.
Okay, when our principal came to me with it, I went around and I found a place, kicked a few people out, but found a place.
That office.
Oh, we were
and
moving.
And I went to the night custodian, and he took the time and painted it for me, you know, one night. We put the little desk or whatever in there. We also had to get forms and have each student to fill it out to show the need of, you know, their criteria of why they might need it. And we're doing the entire school. It started out with just high school credit, but we're doing the entire school.
And you said in 1 month you fed 2,000 people?
No, in the month.
Wow.
In a month.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little about the students who come.
Okay, we start at 11 o'clock with GED and ESOL students, and they're upstairs. Okay, and I can't tell you how appreciative the ESOL particular students are. They are so grateful. I even had one gentleman offer to pay me. He couldn't believe that it was free. Okay, and I mean they thank you. One lady, when she come in, she prays with me and over the food before she take it. I mean, it's just so gratifying to me to see that a little thing like this can make somebody feel so good. Of course, that makes me feel good. And then we do the GED students. And another thing is I'm getting to know all of the students, you know, because I didn't know them. I used to do the attendance, and I knew names, but I didn't know faces. Right. So now I'm putting the faces with the names. And
what does usually when you're giving someone a meal, what does that look like? You know, what describe for me if I'm a food insecure student, what I'm seeing.
Okay, I make a choice of what's on the menu for the day.
Yeah.
And you see, I have my bins, and I give them three things each day. And I put my bins on the table, and you see my order was outlined. So they come in and they just choose one of each. And a lot of times, if it's not really busy, we have conversations. But everything in there is good. It's supposed to be a healthy program. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I usually have fruit, but this is the end of the year.
Right.
And I usually have bananas, apples, and oranges, but you know, they won't keep. And my little refrigerator is not large enough to put things like that in. I have on order yogurt and some items, other items to put in the refrigerator. That's in my next order, which will probably be in July.
Mm-hmm. For our summer school.
Right, for summer school.
And I I was going to add that we put an emphasis on healthy, because the other part too is what we were observing is that the students will go and get like cup of noodles and the that macaroni and cheese that you like microwave.
It's with the like very processed,
and they're pretty much, yeah, it's all salt.
Yes.
And then they don't have time to actually leave the building and run to get food, and then the money to go and pay, you know, whoever for food. So it's just good because they're all here, they're eating together, and they have a healthy meal that we know is a carb that will keep the energy up, mm-hmm, opposed to just a bunch of salt, mm-hmm, that is actually harming them health-wise.
Yeah.
So we were very intentional about that, and that's why, to Ms. Newton's point, bananas, we ordered for that day. Like, here, today's bananas, get the bananas out. Mm-hmm. Today's apples, let's get those apples out. And we try to be consistent with having a fruit. So.
And tell me, Gwen, you know, when you saw this need, or when you identified this need, or have you worked at a food pantry or a soup kitchen before? Have you experienced food insecurity?
No. I had nothing to do with the formation of it or the idea.
Mm.
You know, she came to me after having been born.
I don't know. It sounds like you have a pretty cool vision.
For a long time, I've always done like working in like homeless shelters and doing food kitchen, midnight run. I've been doing that since high school.
Oh, wow.
So I know the importance of like getting a meal. And growing up, my own personal life, you know, the importance of having those meals at home. But so when we heard that we had that challenge, it was like, we've got to be able to do this. Like, it can happen. And we got to get around the nose and the red tape. And so I kind of just transferred that over to Miss Newton, and she just took it and ran. She thought about the intricate details that made everything work. So instead of just, we're just going to give you food, she's actually tracking, like, who's getting the food, how is that impacting attendance, how's that, you know, impacting the student performance, and again, building the relationships, because that's what brings our students back to our community and feel comfortable here. They don't have to worry about, like we said, they're running around. If they're running late here because they're doing a night shift, they know there's food here. So that was another piece I didn't want to forget, because prior to the food, it was bad. Teachers were even bringing in snacks, mm-hmm, to keep in their room, yeah, and we would get crackers and peanut butter. And so if we saw a student that was really, really hungry, like, we would give them what we had out of pocket. You know, and that in itself is hard because, again, they're not getting a full healthy meal, snack, and it wasn't enough for everybody.
Right.
And I've done a lot of work in the community. Mm-hmm. I was on the board of aldermen, and so was my daughter. And working in the community, you see the need of people, and particularly children. Back in the day, I worked at Martin Luther King School. And, you know, with the young people, and I could see how they will come in the mornings. And it's just different areas, you know, of my involvement that this fit, mm-hmm, me. Mm-hmm. You know, this.
I think the biggest piece out of all of it, and why I kind of said we got to put an emphasis on this as well, is because we know, if basic needs are not met, and that's shelter, that's food, that's clothing, mm-hmm, you as a human being, as a person, it makes it difficult for you to learn because you do not feel safe and you do not feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And so if your mind is in a place of anxiety because of safety, because, you know, you're uncomfortable, it's going to be hard to take in new information inside a classroom. It's going to be hard to focus, kind of like work. We can't focus when we know something happened at home or whatever it may be. And so a lot of our students have had history of a trauma or history of homelessness or history of different battles that they've had to face. Our students are very resilient. And I think while we've done a great job supporting with shelter and clothing, that's the other piece that was missing to just pull this all together to make sure our students were taken care of.
And you said that you have been working sort of in hunger and homelessness more broadly in New Haven for a long time. Mm-hmm. When did that start and where did it
when
come
I was
from?
Young?
When you were young, like how young?
Still,
like,
still young. When I was 13, yeah, all the way through high school. When I was 13, I always did a lot of like volunteer work. And when I got to Hopkins, we did things like midnight runs and stuff to like New York City. And I got to meet like different people and they got to tell me their stories as we were sitting there feeding them food that we cooked and put together for them. And I always worked in like soup kitchens. And when I went to college and came back and started working in the schools, that was something that I also picked up on. So like Hill House, when I was at Hill House last year, I had students going out to the soup kitchen because I wanted them to have the same exposure mm-hmm. that I did. Mm-hmm. And so even my son, they'd all go out there, clean up the soup kitchen, they'll pass their code that they'd have to pass, and it was giving them that experience, but also letting them, again, engage with other people and see different walks of life and be able to help and where, give back.
Where did you go to college?
I was at UConn and then Southern. I came to Southern after that.
Yeah. Nice.
And
what did you study?
I went to school for pre-med, and then I switched it to biology and education.
So, yeah, so throughout, there's kind of this compassionate, mm-hmm. I mean, I would hope that you don't want to be a doctor unless you care about
people. I actually didn't want to become a doctor because I always thought I wanted to be a teacher, and I had a lot of influences that were like, well, you're good in science, go to school for medicine. But if you go to school and you become a doctor, which I'm sure many doctors face, you cannot impact everyone. So imagine a patient coming into your office and cannot be seen because they don't have insurance.
Yeah.
And to me, that was like, I can't do that. I personally cannot say, you know, Gwen, I can't help you because you have no insurance. So I went the back end of, how do you get people to get to that place? And that's through education. The more you know and the more you're prepared to be self-sufficient, to get a job, you're gonna be able to get healthcare. And so that's the knowledge that I try to keep reminding students about their resilience through school is, but you need the job, you need the further education, you need healthcare. And as a former cancer survivor, I mean, that hit me even harder the past 2 years. Because I still went to work as I was battling cancer, but those bills, if I did not have insurance.
Oh, yeah.
And the knowledge that people don't know because they haven't gone through schooling or know how to access that information, it's incredible. And so that it's all like coming full circle.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I'm doing that work and I'm proud to be with a team of individuals that have that same drive and passion.
I mean, maybe, Gwen, can you tell me just maybe one more story about a student? You said that one student prays over the food with you. I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. There's one gentleman that we have one student that's in a wheelchair. Hmm. And sometimes they will push her, you know, but then on times when she doesn't feel like it, the same gentleman come down, and I know him by face, that he's coming for himself and for her. You know.
So do you think it also fosters sort of new relationships between the students as well?
Yeah, I
think so, because like I said, I have begun to identify some students now from seeing names and putting names mm-hmm. to faces. So, but you know, it's not only it's not only a joy for him, it's a joy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I always like helping people, and they show so much gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just for little things. You know, some will turn up their nose at the raisins because they don't want. And I tell them, it's good for your digestive system.
It is.
That's something my son will do. Oh, eat it.
And they have iron.
Yes.
And you know, some don't want to take some of the things we have, I encourage them to take it and put it in your book bag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They might have a kid at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, that would love to get a bag of raisins or a granola bar or, you know, whatever is on the menu for that day,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I just got a package of, because I've been serving the same thing for so long, the Anima crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And I put those, I didn't realize students were here today, so I was kind of coordinating the room. And they come in with a sheet.
Yep.
And I said, oh, you're here today. And the Anima crackers just happened to be there. So I just left it, you know, mm-hmm. for them to take. And they were saying, ooh, Anima crackers.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Anima crackers?
I don't know.
Now that you said that, I'm like,
and
Animal
raisins,
crackers.
And raisins on the other end.
Perfect. Do you want?
And I got a lot of juices for the summer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For the summer program, because pending it's going to be hot. And I did put some in the refrigerator. I have a nice little refrigerator. It's a commercial refrigerator. And so I'm going to leave them there.
Mm-hmm.
So I come back in July, and I will be giving those out to the students.
Okay, so that was Wednesday, June 7th. On the evening of Thursday, June 8th, Daniels addressed a graduating class of almost 200 adult and continuing ed students with some words of advice that I, being the mushy sap that I am, actually found very sweet. I'd like to include them here.
When you make the choice from here to pursue your next endeavor, you will need to know the following six principles about life. The first principle is never stop learning. No one ever knows everything, but the human mind is a strong instrument that could change our world when it is stretched and challenged to think deeply. Some of the ways you continue your learning is by asking questions, always reading, and engaging in dialogue with different people. Remember, further knowledge is about self-improvement, which leads to happiness and strong motivation. Principle two, consider others when you consider yourself. There is a great scripture from the Bible that reads, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." You start considering others by carefully choosing your words and listening respectfully. Principle three, express gratitude and appreciation. You are currently surrounded by your friends, family, and community, each of whom played a role in your life and deserves to be celebrated today as well. Graduates, please turn to your family and wave your hand to say thank you. All right, guys. Thank you, family. Thank you. And as you go forward, students, I know this may seem a bit old-fashioned in today's technology, but a simple written message of thanks can brighten someone else's day, including your own. So write a letter of thanks to someone. Principle four, live your own life and be authentic. Remember that you have a lot of life ahead of you, and it's important that you live a happy life. Choose to do the positive things that matter most to you and your family. Be real and authentic with what you want. You have shown the skills of how to think independently and make choices that are to your benefit. Principle five, always dance, laugh, and smile. Last night at prom was amazing, right? Because we danced, laughed, and smiled with one another as a family. So while we are given the chance to dance, laugh, and smile, take advantage of it. Tomorrow is never promised to us. And the last principle, principle six, be persistent and make now count. When all the celebration is over and you're taking your diplomas home and you're reading it over, Take a few minutes to reflect upon the many lessons learned from your teachers. Think about the many gifts you have to offer our world and make it your purpose in life to share your gifts. Class of 2017, I close this lesson by saying to you, life's lessons come from pushing through many things you may not like. Therefore, your homework for tonight and until forever is to always use your bravery, strength, and brains while keeping these six principles in mind. And it's without question that you are ready to take on your next journey in your life, and I'm confident that you will be amazing. Congrats to you, and always know that the staff and I will always be your extended family, cheering you on and rooting for your success. Thank you.
Today's episode was produced by me, Lucy Gelman, with music from John Stone and the Shrubs, and very special thanks to the staff at the New Haven Adult and Continuing Education Center. If you have questions about this or any episode of Kitchen Sink, you can find it online under WNHH Community Radio on Facebook, SoundCloud, or Twitter, or you can find Kitchen Sink as its own podcast on iTunes. Just look for Kitchen Sink with Lucy Gelman. Thanks, and as always, happy eating.
Someone pay me for my broken heart.